Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus door busters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the trash of the day here in about 20 minutes or so. But let's welcome in Josh Briscoe, who will be hosting 3 hours before kickoff on Monday night. Of course, part of the Chiefs Radio Network. Chiefs Commanders. Before we get into that, yesterday Cody was gone. Josh, I don't know if you were skeptical, interested as I was about Cody's disappearance yesterday, knowing the FBI was knocking on doors for illegal poker games. And I've been invited to these poker games at Cody's house. You've played in them. Did you ever think, it's almost like Cody knows what cards are coming?
Boy, Gold, am I glad you mentioned that. I was sure hoping we might get a little bit of time to chat about this topic, because, yeah, I also found it a bit conspicuous that Cody was gone yesterday. I have played in a couple poker games with dear Mr. Tapp, and I will say, you know, here's I've talked to my lawyers, and here's what I'm willing to say. The games in which I won money were totally clean and totally above board. The games in which I lost money, Cody was cheating and robbing me blind. Mm-hmm. That's my main statement.
Man, come on. It's just a friendly poker game. You think I can afford x-ray machines?
I think friendly's the right word for you. Yeah, I think you host that thing at home. You get a couple cameras in a couple places. I always thought it was weird that you had mirrors on every wall in your basement. But now it's all starting to come together.
Yeah, I just like bounce it off of there and be like, well, I know exactly what Briscoe's got today. Time to go hit the gut
Cody,
shot.
Cody had his kids in on it too, I think. You know, he had an earpiece.
Oh, that's right.
Desmond come downstairs as a distraction.
I think Desmond was, you know, was looking at a screen in another room to tell Cody through his ear, like, hey, Briscoe, yeah, he's got 3-7 here. You know, you're good. Go for it.
I never had any doubts about asking Cody's two wonderful young children to bring me a beer or whatever, but they would come around, they'd hand it to me, and then they'd look right at my cards and go straight to their dad. I never put it together.
It's all hand signals, you know? What's that? Just, this is like a fun insidery thing. How about this, Gold? To sit at the table and play in my poker game, there's a cost, there's a barrier for entry that Desmond has decided, my son, has decided, is the barrier for entry for sitting at the table. What is it, Briscoe?
I don't know. I don't remember what I, $50?
No. Getting shot by the dart gun.
Oh!
Oh, so you have weapons at your poker games, too. Wow, it is high
he
stakes.
He gets every single person with the Nerf gun before they sit at the table.
I had forgotten. I think I did get hit with the Nerf gun last time. I forgot about that. I said $50. I couldn't remember where we ended up, again, except for the time that I lost money, in which case I think I have thousands of dollars coming my way once the FBI gets involved.
Someone claims in the text line I was singing like a canary yesterday.
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah.
Absolutely.
We set Briscoe. We definitely said earlier, like, you know, Cody would have a hard time just staying silent, you know, and waiting for his lawyer to show up. He would be like, let me tell you the whole story right now.
I've known Cody for quite a while. One of his biggest problems is the ability to stay silent. That's true. Yeah.
That's an active flaw, and I don't have any other way to. I'd like to clap back, but I have no particular argument against it.
We all ended up in radio, honestly.
Yeah. For good reasons, you know? I'll ask you a question, at least about the Chargers last night in the division. Do we already feel like this is coming down to week 17, 18, and we should just kind of accept that? Because we're not accustomed to that for the division. And we've seen it be close on October 24th, only to have it end three games separate from them and everyone else. But do we need to settle in for it's going to be close?
Probably. I guess the Chiefs have a chance to kind of build a little bit of that cushion if these big games, I don't want to look over Washington, but if they do beat the Bills, Broncos, Colts, if the Chiefs win their next five, which is basically Monday through Thanksgiving, then we might be able to have a little bit of a different look of what December and early January might look like. But as things stand right now, we haven't seen this for sure with the Rashee Rice Chiefs, I guess, but the pre-Rashee Rice Chiefs are also one of those teams that can lose to the Jaguars, who are a wild-looking football team who can get blown out by the Rams in London. So I think the transitive property of the NFL right now means that most of these races are going to come down to the wire, yeah.
I think when you look at, like, and I don't know what it is about it. There's still flaws with those teams more than I think with the Chiefs. Yep. Something about and it might just be because it's the way they're playing right now, and they've won three or four games. And yeah, that Jags game, they did still give away, but with Rashee Rice, I'm convinced would not. When do you think their next loss is? That was actually a conversation we had a couple of days ago on the show. I said it's starting to feel like Colts, or I think actually Cowboys for me, where I think they're the better team than the Bills, and I don't think they're making a trade to improve themselves before they take on Kansas City.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because I think some of the specific stuff I've been impressed by the Chiefs' ability to do this year that aren't necessarily their calling card things, like limiting the run game, they handled. I'll save you mentioning all of the running backs, but there's literally been a guy every single week where you go, man, that's a running back that's caused some trouble for some other teams. Or like in Cam Scataboo's case, a guy who would go on to cause trouble after week three. But the Chiefs have done a great job of corralling those guys. So if you told me that the Bills can't run the ball in a week or so, then, yeah, I think the Chiefs should probably win that game. Now, Josh Allen with his legs might give you enough of those Justin Herbert or, I guess, Trevor Lawrence or, you know, Jalen Hurts moments in those games that they lost. I think the Bills game remains a coin flip for me. I think the Colts are just insane. The Colts is you talk about a coin flip. That's a coin flip. Any season throughout Chiefs and Colts history, that game has a chance to be extremely weird and bad for the Chiefs. Like, I just have some AFC South trauma, some unexplainable Indianapolis Colts Daniel Jones fear. I'm not going to overlook that game, but I do think they're going to beat the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. We're looking a month ahead now. But if the Cowboys defense doesn't improve, if they don't add a real piece there, I think they're a legitimately excellent offense, but I think the Chiefs defense matches up okay there, and I'm betting on the Chiefs to win some shootouts, which is a wonderful feeling to have again. So I do think Buffalo's certainly the biggest hurdle after they hopefully get through Washington without too much festivity on Monday.
So you think if they get through Buffalo, though, you would think that they got a decent chance to win out, it sounds like.
Oh, I guess here's this. I know this is like a crummy radio answer. I think they should be favored in every game the rest of the year.
Yeah,
if they
will.
Won out, I'd be shocked. Like, I just don't really think that's how anybody's built at this point, where every one of these games has a weird version, a weird counter argument of here's how it happens. If the Broncos just finally hit their ceiling of what we think they can be defensively and they win that game 20-17 because Travis Kelce tips a pass and Isaiah Pacheco fumbles and there's a weird penalty at a bad time, yeah, I can never be too surprised by the result of any given week, because that's been, I mean, the NFL through our lifetimes for the most part, but especially this season has just been so much of that.
We're talking to Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor here on 96.5, the Fan, of course, pre- and post-game host on the Chiefs Radio Network. I want to play this 15-second cut for our audience. I know you heard it yesterday, but Andy Reid seemed to be more optimistic about the Josh Simmons situation.
Update for you with Josh would just be, you know, there's communication. I'm not going to get into all of it. Everything's positive. It's not a negative situation. So he's taking care of family.
That's more than we had heard, really, Josh, in prior opportunities for Andy to address the situation. How did you take that yesterday?
Positively. I thought it was good that there was something like that. I think something I had said, probably just privately, and I'm saying I'll say it now, I suppose, but something I had said to a couple people was I do think everybody would benefit with the ability to have one clippable, quotable kind of diplomatic thing like that. And that's what you just played to me, is that is pretty top level, but it's kind of a, hey, everybody, here's a little bit of information just so you know that we're on the same page with the player family situation. I don't know what not a negative situation means, but it does make it feel like, okay, at least now there's the waves have settled a little bit. There's still going to probably be some here or there. It still doesn't sound like they have a real timeline for when he's going to be back. And also, just to be clear, like I don't know if maybe the Chiefs just found out yesterday, like, hey, okay, you can go ahead and say X, Y, Z, and maybe that's something that mm-hmm. Simmons didn't want them to say anything until that point. Or maybe I have truly, I don't have a clue how that back-channeling communication went between player and agent and team and all of those ingredients there. But I was heartened and happy to hear that yesterday, because I think it takes a little bit of the unknown extra kind of spiky points out of it, where when there is so little information, when it's a total kind of bubble shutdown around any issue, people start to try to fill in those gaps and then often assume the worst of what might fill in those gaps. So I was glad to hear that yesterday. I certainly hope that's a reflection of some progress on whatever it is that's going on there. And it seems like, again, I know we're really used to injury reports and we want to know why people are not available. Like, I think that's very human and very understandable. But I also think that, especially now with that from Andy yesterday, at least I'm in a place where it's even easier to just kind of say, okay, the status quo is this now. Jalen Moore's playing good football, and I'm hoping that we see Josh Simmons again before too terribly long. But if it's a situation big enough to impact the middle of your rookie NFL season as the starting left tackle on perhaps the best team in football, I assume it is important, and I hope it is getting handled.
When you look at the, let's just say, we don't know how long he's going to be out or all the other stuff. Let's say that they just settle into Jalen Moore's doing a nice job, and we're going to leave him the starter, even when Simmons comes back, to allow him to, like, reacclimate. Mm-hmm. Performance-wise, where are you with Jalen Moore? Let's say Jalen Moore had to be your starter the rest of the year. Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah, oh, comfortable. Yeah, no, I really would be. I think his ceiling is a bit lower, both immediately and obviously long-term. Obviously, Simmons, you see, like, the 10-year future for, and I think Jalen Moore is most likely a starting tackle on this team next year already. So I think the Chiefs were comfortable with him being their left tackle when they signed him in March. I think they're comfortable with him being their most likely right tackle next year. So I would be comfortable with that. He's less of a weapon in the running game. Simmons has some of those just elite, like, pop off the screen physical tools. And also, I think he's done a very good job of not losing like a rookie when he does have one of those slow deaths that you want an offensive lineman to die when they're able to lose, but lose slowly. So I do think that in the, you know, this is the kindest way I've ever meant this. It is a downgrade, I suppose. The Chiefs would tell you that because Josh Simmons won that job immediately. But I am comfortable, to use that word, absolutely, that Jalen Moore is the second best left tackle the Chiefs have had in quite some time. He just happens to be behind Josh Simmons on the depth chart, who has been the best left tackle the Chiefs have had in quite some time.
We're talking to Josh Briscoe here on 96.5 The Fan. We were discussing a little bit earlier, we're less than 2 weeks out from the trade deadline, looking at potential targets. I don't think they're going to go after running back the way we all thought maybe 3 weeks ago they were going to address it. When you look at other areas, do you think they make a move for, like, a rotational defensive lineman? Is there a name that stands out?
There are a couple of names that I think are interesting. I think they almost have to add a defensive tackle. I was in that headspace before the Omar Norman Lott injury, and now with him out for the year, it was already a thin group, and now it's a really thin group. I mean, they literally have three defensive tackles on the active roster right now. Chris Jones cannot play every snap, even though they need him to. Derek Nnadi's role is very defined, and then Jerry Tillery, you're asking a lot if you need him to continue to build up that snap count. You can throw some snaps at him, but you know, he's not a I don't know, premier starting interior guy. He's a depth piece you're happy to have. So I do think something needs to happen there on the interior. I don't think it can just be long term the practice squad guys. So look, I'd call about Quinnen Williams. I don't think you're probably going to get a price you're thrilled with. I'd call the Jets about a whole lot of guys. I do think Breece Hall is interesting, but I'm with you. I think defensive line is more pressing. The most obvious one right now is Colin Saunders. I don't know if the Jags want to move him, but I think he's played one game with Jacksonville this year. He was tweeting about burnt ends a couple days ago and tweeting about like, how people, he loves it when uninformed folks are making bold claims and predictions that are extremely false. Let's get him out of there. He signed with New Orleans and got his bag a little bit. He got traded to Jacksonville before this season. He's not playing there. He didn't play in the Chiefs game. So I think he makes a ton of sense as like an immediate patch up for what they need, just like depth wise. I really would though. Again, like this is a bit of a pipe dream, but if they had a legitimate offer on the table for a Quinnen Williams type, that's a guy, I mean, I don't know if there is a type. I think it's just literally Quinnen Williams. If he's on the table, yeah, I would start doing some like creative salary cap math to figure out how you can have him as a part of this defensive line for years to come and build like a truly dominant unit. I think that's a 5% chance right now, while I think you almost have to make a move for a guy like Colin Saunders. I really wish Mike Pinnell was still on this team. They clearly need to add there, I think, specifically on the interior. But I'd call about Jalen Phillips or Jermaine Johnson. Also, my hunch is, again, that those are either guys who aren't going to move or going to move for probably a higher price than the Chiefs want to pay.
Briscoe, I know that they're a massive favorite for a reason, so that's certainly just part of it. And they're up against a backup quarterback. Anything that worries you about the matchup on Monday against Washington?
Yeah, the sport they play for the most part. I mean, that really is kind of it, where I have ended up glossing over this game a little bit. Obviously, it's Monday, so we have the extra day and everything to talk about it. This is not a Raiders situation where I'm like kind of quietly just doubting every single thing about the fabric of the organization in the week leading up like I was doing last week. But man, I don't know. Do the Raiders have anything here? Washington is a professional football team. Jaden Daniels being out is obviously, like, it takes a ton of the air out of it. But I do still think that this is one of those games that exists within the margin for error of the modern NFL. And if they had shuffled up some of their losses, if they hadn't just lost to the Bears and the Cowboys, I think we'd still believe in a little more of what they can offer. It sounds like Terry McLaurin and Deebo Samuel should both be back. Those are legitimate weapons. The Chiefs have legitimate answers to guys like that, though, in the secondary. So you see one of those receivers end up matched up with Chamari Connor a lot, or maybe Jalen Watson dealing with a little bit of a back thing yesterday. Maybe there's some limitations there. I don't really fear the running game that much, because like I said earlier, I just think the Chiefs have been really, really impressive in the way that they've handled that so far, even as Kroski Merritt has been very good. Jaden Daniels also really improves that running game, and of course, again, he won't be out there. So I do just kind of have the awareness of the fact that this is a
football, games, football yeah. game
being played in prime time. 3 days before Halloween. Like, there could be some sort of spooky voodoo magic in there that cost the Chiefs this game. But if both teams play A games, B games, C games, the Chiefs should win it by 10 points.
Well, I don't know if you should come out to our Red Friday tailgate a week from today out at Community America, because, again, it's a Halloween tailgate as well. Cody ran his costume idea by you a few weeks ago. I don't know if Cody got approval or not.
Nope,
I've got mine.
I actually got the opposite of
I've
that.
I've got one figured out. Yeah, shut down is what I was thinking was going to happen. So I don't
got
know.
The opposite of approval. That's great, Cody. Love
it. Yeah. I don't know. You're a pretty creative individual, so I expect a pretty legit costume from you.
Yeah, this is actually a really tough time for me and my household. Renee and I have not figured out what our Halloween costume is going to be for this year, and I know we are in crunch time.
Don't tell Bink.
The good news, does Bink have a suggestion? Or
he's very much anti-adults having fun.
I might wear a costume on Monday just to have him walk in to do our college football report segment to do radio with a man in a Psyduck onesie. Like, that just might be something Bink has to do on Monday night.
There's no way he's going to know that that's a Pokemon.
No chance.
And he's just going to be like, why are you a duck?
Yeah. I feel like that question would give me enough dopamine to get me through the rest of
there
the
you
day.
Go. All right, Josh, appreciate it, man. There you go. Josh Briscoe. You can hear him 3 hours before kickoff on Monday, host and pregame for the Chiefs Radio Network. And of course, postgame right here on 96.5 The Fan as well. All right, let's get to it.
Crash of the day.
All right, so we go to the Florida Keys. Have you ever been to Key West or the Keys? It's beautiful. Beautiful.
I don't believe so.
Yeah, so.
I feel like I remember that. I've been to Florida a couple times.
Some of the clearest water I've ever seen in my life is awesome. Anyway, that's where we go. This is about a crocodile that was swimming in the Florida Keys, but you got to listen to this story from WFOR, which is an affiliate for CBS, I think it is, down in the Florida Keys.
It took two people to carry the female crocodile into the room where Dr. Gwen Myers was able to remove the spear.
We think that spear's probably been in her head about maybe a week. It's hard to say, but somewhere between 6-7 days, could be a little bit longer.
They believe she was shot with a spear gun at close range.
If both of them had been out and trapped in the tissues like that, then we would have been regrouping and figuring out a surgery for her.
Saturday morning, FWC received calls out of Key Largo that a crocodile was swimming around with a spear lodged in its head. That's when officers tried to safely capture the reptile.
They were not able to do so Saturday, but yesterday, Monday, is when they were actually able to capture it, along with the help of Zoo Miami and our nuisance alligator program trapper.
Once the reptile arrived to Zoo Miami, they conducted a number of tests and x-rays to see how far the spear was lodged inside of its head. Dr. Myers and her team removed the spear by hand, avoiding surgery. But it's what they also found in x-rays that was alarming.
She has a bullet in her head as well. She has a small pellet in her skull. I don't know how long that's been in there, and it does not seem to be impacting vital organs, so we are leaving that alone right now.
Myers says the goal is to nurse the crocodile back to health and release her back in her home of Key Largo.
She's not out of the woods. We kind of need to give her a little bit of time to see how this wound is going to behave.
So, the John Wick of crocodiles?
Bullet.
This thing had a spear lodged in its head and it was swimming around. That's why people noticed it. The giant spear was sticking out its head.
The photo.
And then when they took that out, they're like, it also had been shot in the head?
What was...
And was living... What kind of enemies does this crocodile have?
Somebody wanted this croc dead. I don't know. A spear gun. Yes, text line. They did say somewhere between 6 or 7 days. Yes, thank you all for picking up on that.
Oh, boy. We're going to do that every time on this show,
well,
too?
Well, the text line is full of 6-7 now because they said 6 or 7 days.
We're not doing that on the show.
We are not, but thank you, text
my
line.
My kids do it enough at home, man. I don't need that rolled into my life. We can't do practice math questions in my house with a 6 or a 7
right?
Without it becoming a distraction. I got to have everything in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9, or 10.
Clearly what happened is this croc down at Key Largo in the Florida Keys was attacking somebody and somebody defended
himself. I think someone got bored and decided to try to shoot the crocodile with a spear gun. Failed. It swam away. And then the other time, I don't know about the bullets.
Two
Florida.
Different people, right? You don't think it's the same person.
Like it, it sounds like it was a bullet first, unless it's the spear gun.
Unless it's the John Wick crocodile situation, I don't think it's one person actively. Yeah. Like, I don't try to avenge their father's death by crocodile.
To Drew's point, the bullet sounds like was in there for much, much longer.
Yeah, they didn't know when it was in there. So for all we know, they tried the bullet and that didn't work.
Yeah.
I think it's the same person.
I think they're going to put that one in captivity. Retire that damn thing. Let him become one of those crocodiles just like a zoo.
I don't know.
Spear, gun, bullet. He's not safe out there.
I think a certain group would appreciate what I'm about to say. People are living in its habitat, so let it do its thing.
Well, sometimes they're like, well, it could eat a child. I'm like, oh, yeah, crocodile's going to crocodile? Don't get near a crocodile.
You've
lived in Florida, Drew. You're the only one on the show. I mean,
correct.
If there are stories, as you know, that a crocodile will go into a neighborhood in someone's backyard and it's like,
yes.
I mean, that's...
What's the rules on it? If a crocodile, do I get, like, stand your ground on a crocodile?
Oh, gosh,
if it gets in my backyard, am I allowed to shoot it?
They are a federally threatened species. It's illegal to kill or harass under both Florida
I didn't know. I was asking.
Florida and federal
law. Correct. Okay. You cannot kill it.
That's why they're offering a reward for any information that leads to an arrest about whoever was responsible for injuring the croc.
Whoever was hurting it. Uh-huh. I think it's multiple people. But also, indestructible, that crocodile, man. He's a force to be reckoned with. He got shot and shot with a spear gun in the head.
So that's the croc that got Chubbs.
Yeah, said, he got my hand, I got his head, or whatever the line is, I think, from that movie.
Someone text said disconnected to yesterday's news.
What was yesterday's news?
They're saying the FBI stuff with organized crime.
Oh. Crocodile was going to snitch and try to take him out? What's a crocodile got to do with it?
Yeah. Well, the person got away, so they if they were being attacked, it worked. But, yeah, you can't do that. Someone says, makes so much sense now, knowing Drew is originally a Florida man.
I'm telling you, there was a guy that, when I was in Pensacola, would ride his lawnmower to the gas station, fill it up with gas, and then ride away with like a little like wagon attached to it in the back. He'd put some stuff in there from the
What's the most Florida man thing you did while living in Florida? There's got to be something.
I can't think of anything that comes to mind, I guess. Okay. It would take too long to think about it.
All right.
Other Florida man stuff, yes, but
that's what we need. Yeah.
What's the best example, real quick?
Well, the one I just told you.
That's
the guy riding his lawnmower to the gas station on the legit road in the lane where ours are. It wasn't like in the bike lane. It was just in the middle of the street.
Someone says, wait, if gators are in danger, then how do we get gator bites as an appetizer while we're in Florida? I have no idea the difference either. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. Gator, croc, I don't know if there's a discrepancy between the two. Anyway. Up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Run half hour. A question that Cody thinks the Chiefs still have to ask themselves. And we'll also get back into some of those targets we asked Josh Briscoe about for the trade deadline. That's right now here on Cody.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus door busters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net. I was gone on a field trip yesterday, by the way. Not a legal sports wager.
What? How was it?
It was. Where was it at? It was at a nature, like a little nature conservatory thing where you just like walk a path and go down. And he taught him about. Like,
was this for your son or daughter?
Yeah, son, for like water samples and stuff. The one thing I'll say is. And I won't name the place or whatever. It doesn't really matter. But
okay.
It was the... He had had it with the kids by the end of this thing.
The guy working there.
The guy running the show. Who my impression of was like a guy that was clearly hippie in the 60s and just wants to like work in nature and kick it.
Cool. Okay.
Great. Found a good niche for himself in that regard. Perfect little setup. Go down and take water samples and show kids little insects and they got to like pet a turtle. Perfect.
All right.
But by the end of it, he was like, all right. All right. Almost like Chris Farley on the bus in Billy Madison. He had it. If you throw one more rock, like, and it's a group of first graders, and they're by rocks and water. So, like, you know, resisting is hard in that situation. And so.
Do they normally not have younger kids going on this trip?
I don't know. He had said some of the stuff. He's like, well, this, he had said like three different times, well, this part's like, this is a little more for older kids, or this is a little more for older kids. I don't think he liked the, I think the first grader part was getting to the man. And like controlling, and then he's like, the only thing we have left is I need a bunch of cats. And like clearly just, you know, like herding cats. That man poured himself a drink, I think, when that group of first graders left. I think he just went back in his office.
What were you doing? You were just chaperoning?
Yeah, just like you were allowed to tag along. So wasn't even much of a chaperone gig. Mostly just hung out with my son while he did this stuff.
That's okay.
It was a pretty low key one. I wasn't even really responsible for any, except for the one kid who tried to fall off the path into the creek. That was the only one I was protecting just because.
Caught a kid?
I just had to, like, they were millimeters from the edge of just, get back. Please watch your feet. Small child, but that guy had it. He was over it. I felt bad. By the time we were done, we're like, thanks, man. Good work. Please enjoy your time.
So did you pet the turtle?
I did. I mean, you know.
I'm just curious.
Why not?
Yeah.
You know, win in Rome.
How old was the turtle?
They did not specify. Said it was just donated to them. They didn't.
There were no crocodiles or anything like that?
No. Okay.
Which we got that cleared up during the break, thanks to our listeners. Crocs are threatened. Gators can be hunted with government-issued tags. That's why you can have gator bites, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Versus crocs.
Because I've eaten gator, and so have you, Drew, right?
Yeah.
Gators.
It's very good.
Yeah. 1,100 pounds up to, crocs can get up to 2,200 pounds. There you go. There's our science lesson of the day.
Sweet.
Let's talk some Chiefs football here on Cody and Gold. And a question that you were asking us, we were talking about before the show as well, and that you think the Chiefs have to ask themselves, and that is, hey, as much as we all agree, and I have said over and over, I want Breshard Smith to continue to have an increased role in this team. And he's explosive when he touches the ball. I think there's a thought from a fan base, and you said this, that would he actually be the better full-time option or not?
Yeah, so like I think that the Chiefs are going to have to answer this question. I think they actually have answered this question for themselves. And I want this to be an exercise for fans too, for where they are at the running back right now. Do you, and this is what I think the Chiefs have to answer. Do you think the Chiefs would be a better rushing team or a better offense if Breshard Smith was the full-time running back the way they use Isaiah Pacheco? And here's the truth. As much as I like Breshard Smith and like the role he plays on this team, I think the answer is no. I do not think they would get an improved rushing attack if Breshard Smith handled the ball on as many carries as Pacheco did and they just reversed the roles. Do I think Smith can run the ball sometimes? Sure. Do I think they'd be better if they reversed the roles in the rushing attack from Pacheco and Breshard Smith? No. And the Chiefs have to answer that question for themselves, both for this year and for the long term. Because it's going to tell them what they need to do at running back in the long haul. But I think the answer is no. And so when you start looking at the running attack and you get frustrated by maybe it's this or that, ask yourself that. Gold, I don't think they're better with a different person getting the full-time carries than Pacheco.
So I think Pacheco has been much better the last couple weeks. Kareem Hunt has really found his role again as the short yardage back. And so the running game, while it's not elite by any means, it works. Everything else offensively is flowing better. It's opened up the running game even more. I think Pacheco has just been better ever since he kind of was semi-benched in game, it felt like, for a couple of snaps.
Yeah.
Breshard Smith, though, has more juice. And so full-time, like, what do we, you know, nobody in the team is ever getting 20 carries.
15 carries.
So on 14 carries, yeah, I actually think he would provide them more explosiveness, right? Now, on a third and one, I don't want Breshard Smith getting the carry. I would want that to still be Kareem Hunt.
He's the third most effective back in short yardage this year, so that doesn't change.
So that's kind of where I'm at, whereas I acknowledge that Pacheco's been way better the last 3 weeks, and I think this current system of how they're attacking teams on the ground with Hunt, Pacheco, and a little bit of Smith worked in is working. But if you ask me, if Breshard Smith got 12 carries suddenly on Monday Night Football, would I view the offense as even more explosive? Absolutely.
I think I'd view it as about the same or worse. I think, and this is not like, I think Breshard Smith is talented and has talent, but something about the way that they treat him is in, he is not, they have stopped treating him like a running back and instead treat him like a sixth wide receiver.
Well, he was a receiver.
And I understand, yeah, there's an appeal in that, no doubt about it. But they are like going through these motions a little bit and treating it in a way where it seems like they don't trust him to run. And I think Pacheco's a better runner than we give him credit for. He's not an electric runner.
He runs into contact. That's when he's at his best.
His vision is still not the best, admittedly. So maybe there's some potential there. But I do think that in the end, that is the question they're asking themselves, because they've switched running back roles halfway through the year. All the time.
Well, Pacheco himself was the beneficiary of that a couple years ago when they decided to switch away from Clyde. Now there was an injury involved there too.
Probably three different times that I can think of. The LeSean McCoy, the Isaiah Pacheco. There's at least three times that they've switched running back roles in the middle of the year and just shifted off of one and into the other and allowed somebody else to take it. So this would be the break point of when Pacheco, to your point, got more carries than the back he was behind. But I honestly don't think they're better if Breshard Smith got all the carries. I've come to kind of like the balance.
Well, right now it's working.
I've come to
kind
of like the balance in the system that they've set up for. Breshard gets 2, 3, 4 catches a game. Kareem does all the short yardage. And Pacheco does what the regular running back stuff. It's 2nd and 7 and we're handing the ball off. Here you go, Isaiah. Like, it does seem to be a nice balance to me.
Which is why if we take this and get into the trade deadline conversation, which is less than 2 weeks away. It's a week from Tuesday, as a matter of fact, at 3 Central time. It's why I don't think, whether we think Smith should get the ball more or not, and I do, they're not going to trade for a running back. It's not going to happen. If Hunt and Pacheco and Smith are healthy for the next week and a half, and hopefully all year, but you get my point, then to me, they're not trading for running back. And honestly, at this point, I don't want them giving up an asset for that unless they are under the impression that if they trade for a Breece Hall or somebody like that, that he is their starting running back in 2026. And this is a trade that they think is a better opportunity to improve the position than they'll have in the offseason. Like,
it's a little how we're talking about the Royals at the trade deadline. I remember you were saying, don't just pick up guys for the short term. Pick up guys that actively help you.
That's the only way I think it would make sense to trade for a running back at this point is if you say, all right, this is a guy that we don't think we can get a better option in the offseason via draft or free agency. Let's go get him now. He helps us in 25. And we'll go ahead and work on an extension even or tag. In Breece Hall's case, we could franchise tag him or whatever. That's the only way trading for a back, to me, is all that realistic at this point in time. Otherwise, I think, as we just got to discussing, they like this balance that they have. They feel like all three of these guys help them in a different way, and they don't need to give up a draft asset. In the offseason, they will have to bring in another running back or two because of expiring contracts with Hunt and Pacheco.
As much as I give them credit for finding guys who fit inside their system, like use Juju Smith-Schuster or some of these other guys, it's really good examples of finding guys in their offense. And Tyquan, right? Tyquan works better in the Chiefs system than he did with the Patriots or any of these other things. They need to start looking at running backs added to this who can run in shotgun. Because I will say, either they need to change their run scheme to be better at running in shotgun, or they just need to run under center more. Because more than even the back, I got to be honest, more than even just the running back, it sure seems to me that their issues in running is their scheme is better under center. That they're a better running team, blocking team, anything under than anything else. And so is it the back or is it the style? Your run scheme is bad or you don't have the right fit talent wise of guys who run better in shotgun than guys who don't. And you got to find the back that fits your style better, because it's not that there are never any gaps for Isaiah Pacheco. We talked about this all the time. We've shown some clips in which he's just running into the back of defenders.
But I think we would agree. I mean, what they have right now, this will work. Doesn't mean that everybody's thrilled with the backfield, but this, with everything else they have weapon wise on the offense and the way Mahomes is playing this year, this offense, I know you never want to say good enough. Like, that's not a great philosophy. And in going for a championship, like, you're always trying to find a way to put you over the top even more. I just don't think they're trading for a back to do that unless it's a 2026 decision. Now, other names that ESPN listed off, and they did a list of top 25 trade candidates. There was a couple defensive linemen. That is where I think they will have to address. That's where they are clearly weaker, whether it's interior or trading for another edge rusher. I'm out on the running back or any offensive player. There's no need to trade for any offensive player.
No, I already think it's a great offense even without doing that. And that's what I guess makes it interesting, is like when I look at that list from Jeremy Fowler of the top 25 trade candidates, the two guys that they mention as a fit for the Chiefs are Breece Hall, offensive player, and Jalen Phillips, edge player, who obviously they could use some help on. The problem with the edge player is the rotation there does kind of make sense. And their bigger issues are on the defensive, interior defensive line. And when I went through the list, I'm like, all right, let me scroll down. Let me find an interior defensive lineman. Okay, I see my first defensive lineman at 7 in Jalen Phillips. Second offensive lineman in Jermaine Johnson, edge, right? Same spot. A lot of corners, Arden Key, edge. It's like there aren't as many interior defensive linemen available in the trade market. I think I'm going to view, because I think any move the Chiefs make, truthfully, at this point, in a little over a week from now when the trade deadline happens, week and a half, I think anything they do is going to be minor gold. It's going to be Colin Saunders, which Briscoe mentioned a minute ago. It's going to be someone of that level or around that level. So more interesting to me this trade deadline is how much better do the teams that are active threats to Kansas City get? Who do the Broncos, Chargers, Bills, Colts, and Patriots trade for? And look, that's extending it out a little bit further of some of the teams I take serious, admittedly, or take more serious than others. But if the Bills get a legit, they get Chris Olave, they get a legit wide receiver weapon, they get a better defensive lineman, they improve their team dramatically. Well, those are the trades I'm going to be paying attention to, because I don't think the Chiefs are going to be swimming in those waters.
Yeah, I want to bookmark something right now for when we get to the trade deadline. So here we are on October 24th, and the trade deadline is a week from Tuesday. These conversations are a ton of fun, right? Like, it's fun to speculate on who somebody's going to trade for and all this, and this guy's a candidate and all that. What happens every year around the trade deadline? I know they push the deadline back.
In the NFL, it's usually pretty mild. There's occasionally a big trade or two, but in the NFL, it's usually pretty mild.
I guess what I'm saying is there's going to be a lot of noise about trades. And most of the time, not every time, most of the time, the majority, the trade deadline ends up being like, oh, that's all I got moved. That's all that happened. Now, it is later this year than it's been. So maybe that encourages teams to go ahead and say, all right, we know we're not making the playoffs. Let's go ahead and look ahead to the future. But that's my only thing I will say. Anytime we have, because this will not be the last time, I know, we talk trade deadline, and it's fun. It's fun to talk about. I will just remind people that usually, unlike the NBA trade deadline or the MLB trade deadline, NFL trade deadline is usually underwhelming.
And typically, yes. And it doesn't mean, and I think it was Adam Schefter, it was like 2 weeks ago, he had sent out the tweet, be like, I expect every Monday from this Monday. And look, I'm obviously doing dramatized for the reason that you're making that face. Every Monday for the rest of Mondays, I expect an important trade to take place before the NFL trade deadline. Do I think every single major player mentioned, like in this list, right? They mention Calvin Ridley. They mention Trey Hendrickson. And to Fowler's credit, he does assign a percentage chance he thinks they're going to get traded. Trey Henderson, 20%. He's not saying it's likely. He put Jaylen Waddle, 10%. Breece Hall, 35%. Still below half, in his opinion. He didn't get to half until it was Reek Woolen from the Seahawks or, you know, I don't know, Logan Wilson, right, for Cincinnati, who's requested a trade, so at least there's a possibility. He only put Chris Olave at a 20% chance. And truth is, why trade Chris Olave when you're seeing Spencer Rattler show you some stuff and you're trying to find out how good he is? Can you find out how good he is if you just take away his number one receiving weapon? In my opinion, you can't. You can't make any decisions on whether or not
he's
your two-year starter.
He's got a year left, a club option next year. It's probably one of those where like they feel like unless you're going to actually sign him to an extension in the offseason, you're probably moving on from Chris Olave.
Legitimately, the only one above 50% was Logan Wilson, a player who is
because he requested
actively
a trade.
Everyone else, he's got a 10, 25, 25% chance. So the truth is, Gold, I think only a handful of moves will get made that impact the Chiefs directly. Most of them will be the size of the type of deal I think the Chiefs are doing. But for the team that gets it, for the team that makes the swing and gets the player, I am interested to see how that impacts the AFC race.
Yeah, and someone brought up the name that we discussed a couple days ago, Christian Wilkins, and that's one that's not a trade. Remember that? That is just they can call up his agent and check in. But I think if something happens there, that's closer to Thanksgiving. And also, we don't have to get back into the whole conversation. There's also a lot of stuff that I don't know how the league will handle, teams will handle. There's a lot of rumors out there and stuff like that. Unrelated to just the health of his foot, and we don't have all the details on it, and so I don't know if that ends up deterring teams or not. We'll see. I would absolutely, though, check in on him. I'm with you, as we said earlier in the week.
It's also weird with the NFL trade deadline because sometimes you know the names. It's good to remember that just seeing the name does not mean it's going to work. Like, look, the text line had pointed out correctly. Amari Cooper got traded to the Bills. We saw that trade and we're like, ooh, damn. Didn't even give up that much. We're like, that's a pretty good deal for Buffalo on paper. Like, I don't know what's not to like. They pretty much gave up nothing for a guy who might end up being their best wide receiver this year. He finished the season with 20 catches for 297 yards and 2 touchdowns for the Bills. That's not nothing. It doesn't mean he wasn't a part of their offense in any way. Not exactly high impact. The Chiefs added DeAndre Hopkins. Now, they were desperate, and we know that they needed, you know, like they needed somebody to throw the football to. You might be surprised to know that he caught 5 touchdowns for the Chiefs.
I think it's very hard for an offensive player.
But he had 41 for 437. He was twice as effective.
I think it's really
hard as Amari Cooper
for an offensive player to come in midseason and really have a massive impact. And again, it goes back to usually the deadline is underwhelming. It ends up usually not being as effective at the deadline. And usually you're overpaying at the deadline as far as compensation on top of it.
Yeah, and I don't disagree. Like, it'd be a bigger deal if the Colts add a defensive lineman than it would be if they added a wide receiver. And they're not going to add a running back because they have Jonathan Taylor and he's pretty good. But so when you look at these moves, it's like, one, Gold, like you said, we have to actually see the move take place. But secondly, we also have to see the move actually pan out before we start panicking that it's a fit. And this happens in MLB trade deadline too. Eugenio Suarez is a really good example of that. He didn't do a ton for the Mariners in the regular season after they made what was a pretty big trade for them. He obviously came up in a couple of hits in the postseason, but he didn't make some huge deal on there. Sometimes it's just hard to know which ones are going
to
hit.
Unrelated to the Chiefs, there were a couple tight ends on the trade deadline list, guys, veterans like Mark Andrews, for example. Obviously, the Chiefs are not in that market, thank goodness. But Nate Taylor had some interesting thoughts on Travis Kelce and how the rest of the season could look. Because this offense now has all these playmakers, could they try to ease back a little bit? And this is why when we were going through the projected stats, the pacing stats, like, is he really going to have 104 catches? I don't think so. Here's what Nate had to say about Rice helping Kelce get some rest.
The best part is that this should help Travis Kelce manage his body for the rest of the season so that he's ready to go in January. He does not have to have the burden that he did in 2023 or even have portions of last season because of all the injuries at receiver. So just spread the ball around. And hey, when you get into the red zone, find your matchups like they did against the Raiders, and then hopefully you execute to a high level, and you keep this trend up. And this is wild, guys. Despite them kind of not beating anyone of real significance, which I know we talked about earlier, and despite no one in the league really knowing who's good and who's like actually like great, the Chiefs have scored on over half their possessions.
Look, I'll believe it when I see it. I actually hope Nate's right. Do I want a more than usual fresh Travis Kelce for a playoff run? Hell yeah. He is at his lowest snap count since his first year as an NFL starter after he had gotten injured. So his first year is like playing football. He's at his lowest snap count since then at just 72% of the offensive snaps. Admittedly, that was pretty skewed by the last game against the Raiders, in which none of the starters needed to play that many snaps at all. He only played 61.7. I will point out, he would be below his career average and below the last 5 years in 6 of the 7 games this year. So they are snap counting him. Whether you like it or not, they have reduced Travis Kelce's offensive snaps. We thought when they were struggling, that was part of the reason he was pissed, is that we're losing and I'm not on the field. This won't work. Now he won't care. They're winning and he's not on the field. Not as big of a deal, right? You don't feel like, hey, put me out there. I can help you. It's 3rd and 1. Let me get out there. He has played in less than 80% of the snaps in every game but the first game this year. And that was probably because Worthy got hurt in the first snap.
Now, the offense runs through Rashee Rice. We know that. We saw it last year before he got hurt, and we saw it immediately, last week. And Travis Kelce, when it comes to moving the chains, you still rely on him. He can still be someone that you trust and all that, the relationship that him and Mahomes have and all that stuff you can't teach. They just kind of have that chemistry. All that is still in play. But, yeah, you want to make sure at his age that he's available for the biggest games. And that maybe that's Buffalo next week. But then it's maybe not until, you know, the Colts or, you know, it's in the postseason, whatever it may be. I think it's very smart if that is actually how the Chiefs are going to try to approach things. Up next, let's get to what's trending, and then we'll be joined by Gabe DeArmond from PowerMizzou.com. We'll talk more about Missouri's huge game against Vandy tomorrow.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus door busters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.